This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, and welcome to the 53rd episode of my podcast. My name is Jeroen Lennertz, and I've been developing software for over 19 years, developing iOS apps for over 9 years, and I'm running the Dutch CocoaHeads for over 8 years. If you're an iOS app developer, you should listen to my podcast because we'll keep you updated on interesting articles, conferences, and events you might not have heard about. In this episode, I'm going to talk about what's new in Xcode 13.2 Beta 1. How to capture touch events outside UIView bounds. Josh's M1 Mac development environment. Dangerous logging in Swift. Xcode benchmarks. And of course, Donny's Monday morning tweet. So today has been a big day for me. I had my first day working at my new job. And it went well. Not overwhelmed yet. Going to fetch my new laptop tomorrow. So, and then after that, I'll be setting up my environment on that system. And then really dive into code and see what things I can do on my job and things I can learn. Goal is to have an onboarding process that lasts me 3 months, so that's quite significant. And I'm really looking forward to having some more conversations with my new colleagues later this week. Main goal for now is just to get started and get familiar with the people, and after that it's time to dive into all the technical details of the implementation that we're working on at Stream. So all in all, a very positive first day. One day is not much yet, but who knows what I can mention next week. On a more personal note, we had some good news. My 3-year-old is allowed to start his swimming classes for real on November 27th. So he's been dying to get into the pool every week. We've been taking him since he's 3 months old. And now he's having more like playtime classes in his swimming class, but from November 27th, it's actually aimed at getting him to swim properly and end him up with a swimming diploma. It's something that you need in the Netherlands because there's a lot of water here. Once we told him, he was very happy, but then of course the next day in his small 3-year-old mind, he was mentioning, "Daddy, I'm a little bit scared of these new classes, so will I do okay?" Which is very fun to hear him express it so well, even with his young age. I think he'll manage. Not much else to mention, so let's dive into the first article of this week. And that's what's new in Xcode 13.2 Beta 1. And, well, maybe you haven't heard, but Xcode 13.2 will definitely be remembered as the release that brought us Swift concurrency backward compatibility. Yes, you hit that correctly. Despite just that big fact already, there's also some very cool Swift UI updates in there. And Federico Zonatello takes us on a tour of what's new in Xcode 13.2. Normally, I don't mention Xcode versions on my podcast, but I did want to mention this one, especially in the article by Federico, because he has some nice screenshots with code examples on what's new in Xcode 13.2 Beta 1. So if you want to update yourself quickly, have a look at his article. The next article I want to mention is by Pete Smith. It's on how to capture touch events outside UIView bounds. When working with touch events in iOS, UIKit provides most of what you need. In the case of a UI button, you register the action you want to take when a user taps the button, for example. When a user taps anywhere on the screen and that tap is inside the frame of your button, UIKit identifies your button as the target and the specified action is performed. However, when a tap is inside the frame of your button but outside the bounds of its parent view by default, the action will not be called. It's a very specific scenario, and what Pete does is take you on a tour on how he was able to figure out how he can have the behavior that he was looking for, mainly a button that is outside of its parent view's bounds and still register the events. What's fun about this article is that it takes you on a tour on what responder objects are and why they are important in the context of a UIKit-based application. It's pretty much some trivia, but once you know what a responder and a responder chain is, you can do some really fun things with that in future implementations of your app. So have a look at the article and let me know what you think of responders and responder chains in your code. The next article is by Josh Holtz. He's been on a bit of a vision quest, you could say, on how to get an M1 Mac development environment set up correctly with Homebrew, C Shell, Ruby and Python version managers. What Josh has done, he's been successful in creating such an environment and he recorded a video about it and he also wrote a blog post about it. So I'm linking to the blog post because I like articles written form. And it's a solid overview of what challenges he ran into and why it could be difficult on your M1 Mac to set up a decent development environment if you are dependent on some external third-party tools. Daniel Jalcott wrote a nice article called Dangerous Logging in Swift. It's a simple situation that he ran into while using NSLog from his Swift code, but the simplicity of the issue that he ran into is what makes it hard to discover and too hard to debug why things are going wrong. Basically, what it boiled down to is that when he was using NSLog to log information to the console, a Swift string that he interpolated Swift style into the NSLog as the first argument so happens to contain formatting that is pretty much Objective-C style template strings. So that's the case that you do an NSLog with a percentage at and that you have to pass in a variadic argument to fill in those blanks in your format string. So a very fun little discovery that that Daniel did. It is, of course, all working as designed, but this is one of those cases where language interop between Objective-C and Swift can really bite you in the you-know-where. So have a look at the article and see what you think of this and maybe do a look in your own code to see if you could actually run into the same issue as well. Now, of course, we all know that there's been some great new hardware released by Apple, and a lot of us are either running older Intel Macs or we're running M1 Macs of last year's make and model by Apple. And a lot of people have been feeling sort of like a bit of FOMO about this. Of course, the new MacBooks announced by Apple are pretty hefty in its price. And I've seen some interesting discussions about people who are doing just Xcode compilation thinking that they need like the Pro and the Pro Max all decked out versions of these MacBook Pros. This link that I'm going to share with you, called Xcode Benchmark, is pretty much a sort of a benchmark of a big code base on different hardware and Xcode combinations to see what performance gains you could expect when going for a new or better spec machine. What I find interesting is that, for example, a MacBook Pro 13-inch 2020 model with 16 gigs of RAM, so that's the M1 8 core, does a compilation in this benchmark, of course, in 130 seconds, and that the new 14-inch MacBook Pro, which also has a M1 Pro 8 core with 16 gigs of RAM, that one does it in 109 seconds. So that's a difference of 21 seconds. That's a significant difference. But to me, it does feel like, is it worth the investment to do this upgrade for that price while the M1 Mac is still a very good and solid machine to do iOS development on? Of course, if you go for the all specced out M1 Macs or the M1 Pro with a lot of memory, then the difference gets a little bit better even, but then you only end up like at 98 or 102 seconds compilation time. So the jump from an M1 Pro 8 core Mac to an M1 Pro 10 core or M1 Max 10 core, it's really small. It's expressed in like 11 to 9 seconds really. It's expressed as a difference of 11 to about 7 seconds, really. And you could really consider whether or not going beyond the baseline model of the M1 Pro is worth the investment. But of course, make up your own mind. And I must say, the new machines, they look really cool. On pictures, at least. So, and those were the links of this week. I want to keep my episode a bit shorter this week. Of course, there's Danny's Monday Morning Tweet. So, let's have a look at that. Stuart Lynch is releasing a new video. And he's surprised by how popular... Stuart Lynch released a new video this week. And he's surprised by how popular this specific topic has been. It's one of his most popular videos in a long time. And he wishes that he knew why this one is more popular than others. The video is about Xcode configurations and flags. And of course, there's a lot of things that you configure that you can. There are a lot of things that you can configure in Xcode. And this video by Stuart goes into a lot of detail of that. Tokay is busy bug fixing. Any SwiftUI experts that know why the navigation back button and navigation bar title sometimes overlap, and how to force a refresh of the navigation bar? Donny actually thinks it might be a bug in SwiftUI, so he's suggesting to file a feedback. Daniel Steinberg is busy finishing some book updates by Tuesday, and then it's time to decide on what the next project will be that he's going to work on. And Franklin Delano Stallone is hoping to get started on a new paid app. He finished an update on the first ever app, which is a bookmark manager. And it's a niche project, but it's got quite a bit of use. So he's a little bit tempted to focus on improving the M1 Mac experience, even if it's a free app. René Skoff is working on the website for their new mountain bike trail. And he's getting his MacBook Pro ready. Vivek is working on some scene kit. It's a holiday for him. It's more like a Sunday or Monday. He's asking what plans Donny has. Nick Wood is 6 weeks into a new, for him, project with a great team. And it's the first time that he's fully working on a SwiftUI and Combine code base. So he's glad to read the books by Donny that he bought earlier this year. ThinkTapWork is trying to get the word out on their latest app update. And Tahir is finishing up some backend work to integrate with Revenue Cat webhooks feature. The user interface is done and ready, so real-time subscription purchase notifications are a new possibility. Amir is learning more and more about Swift, and Mo has taken 2 extra days off this week, so that means avoiding procrastinating and getting his portfolio website done, at least as a first version, then job applications and Swift UI reading. So good luck, Mo, on your days off and your plans for those 2 days. And it was a nice overview. It seems that the community is settling down a little bit. Of course, the big announcement was Xcode 13.2 right after the new hardware that's been available. So there was a lot of buzz about that right after the keynote, and then it settled down a little bit. And you do notice that people are receiving the new hardware. And it does feel like people are still figuring out what Xcode 13.2 beta is going to bring to the table once it's final. So I really look forward to the articles that people are going to write on these new features that are now available in Xcode. And that's it for this week. On Thursday, my regular interview again. And I hope to talk to you again next week. If you have any feedback, just let me know on Twitter at AppForce1. If you want to support my podcast, have a look at pod.fan/AppForce1 or my GitHub profile. Talk to you again soon.
Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. AppForce1.net/lead developer. All one word.